Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. This is going by so fast, ladies. It's crazy. We meet and we record about four in what at one time, and it's flying by because we love to jibber-jab. Anyway, so we have been in dialogue, is the adult term. We have been in Tara Rye's study called Wishing Forward, 7 Moments Jesus Prayed. And Tara storied it, the very first one, which had been 3 weeks ago, Luke 22, 39 through 46, when Jesus prayed that the disciples would not fall into temptation. And today she's going to be talking about the end of that scripture, or the middle of the scripture where it says, "Thy will be done."
Yeah. And then when Jesus prayed. We kind of went out of order. We did. We went completely out of order, but I know we needed to. Because it, obviously what was supposed to be the last segment of a closing for the end of the series, it took 3 weeks for us to get through that section. That was only a half a page of notes.
We're good at that.
Yeah, we're really good at that. And then, but I want us to be thinking through, okay, so we've been talking about wishing forward. That's from the Greek word pros oukomai, which means to wish forward, to desire, to pray towards something. And we know that Jesus's movement is towards Jerusalem. It is toward the cross. It is toward what he is doing to fulfill the will of the Father. And as we're thinking about this, and we've looked at, you know, the temptations that the disciples were facing, we talked about the fact that there is a physical and a spiritual aspect to the temptations that we can have, and it could be that we could betray Christ, it could be that we're seeking greatness, and it could be that we deny him. Any of us could fall into those temptations. And what we have to understand is Jesus was there. He was having that temptation fall upon him. It was coming on him. The anguish that he was feeling was the temptation, the burden of temptation of all mankind from the beginning of creation till the end, when we go to all be in eternity with him. Mm-hmm. He was carrying the weight of that burden. And when he prayed, "Thy will be done," and without intending to, and God forgive us, and God forgive me, because I'd be the first to say that I can treat this like a cliche. Mm-hmm. I can treat this very trite when I speak to people. Just surrender. Release it. Just not your will, but God's will be done. And I mean, and it's almost in that kind of tone that I can say it. It can be treated very casually. And I was blown away because I was reading through, and William Barclay hit hard on a nail that hit me. And he said, and he said that there's four tones that man can take. And I have been pondering this for many days. I actually think there's probably more than just four, okay? But these were the four that he gave. And I want you to understand, because he says, based on the tone that a person gives, "Thy will be done" can be totally different. Mm-hmm. It can be totally different. And it made me think, when Greg and I were engaged to be married, Greg's dad, Joe, has had a very good friend. He's passed on to be with the Lord now. And at our party, he brought in this gorgeous, ornate, kind of antique-y mirror, and that was on a stand that kind of swiveled back and forth, but probably like 18 inches tall, and set it on the table. And he went and got Greg, and he made Greg sit in the center of the room with this mirror in front of him. And he told Greg, "Look in the mirror." And Greg looked in the mirror, and he said, "I want you to look in the mirror, and in the sweetest way that you can, I want you to say, 'Yes, dear.'" and Greg kind of looked at him, and Greg looked in the mirror, and he said, "Yes, dear." And he said, "No, your eyebrow went up, your tone was wrong, your facial expression was not good. That one's going to get you hit with a frying pan." And he goes, "I want you to try again." And Greg kind of looked at him and laughed and looked in the mirror. He's like, "Yes, dear." And he kind of rocks his head in kind of cocky way. And he goes, "No, that was way too cocky. You just can't do it that way. You're going to get in trouble." And what he was doing is he was conveying to Greg that the tone and the way that you speak to your wife, it's going to make a big difference. And essentially, this is the point that Barclay is making, that we can treat "Thy will be done" in a very inappropriate manner in the body of Christ, when this is exactly what Jesus prayed in preparation for the cross. It's not something that we should be flippant or trite with. And he said that you can hear the voice of helpless submission. This is a tone that could be used. And this is the person that they're so hopeless that the fight is out of them. Mm-hmm. And it's complete surrender, but it's not, because it's a heart to or a will to. It's just, I'm defeated. It's the death knell. Whatever, your will be done. Whatever. You know that tone, right? Mm-hmm. Your will be done. Whatever. Has anybody in here done that to their spouse? I have. I'm raising my hands. Yes?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. We've gotten kind of cocky with it. He said the next one is in battered submission. Somebody that's totally defeated because it's just, it's come out of them so hard, so furious that there's nothing that they can do to stop it. And so just in complete, utter defeat, they've surrendered to the battle. And they say, your will be done, whatever. You know, I'm here, I am. And it's different than the helpless submission. The helpless submission is, you know, I can't, you know, do it. The battered submission is, you know, the abuse of the defeat has, like, knocked them down, okay? The third one is in utter frustration, okay? A person who is just gone with, there's just so much that's happened. And typically this is the person when a dream has died. Okay, this is when all things are bleak, and bleakness turns to regret, and it turns to bitter anger, and then it's frustration, and then they can't do anything about it, and it's like, why bother? Your will be done. There's no point in me even trying. Okay?
Ooh, yeah.
And so it's the spirit of frustration. And, you know, I saw that. That one there in particular in my husband when we first moved here. And Greg will tell you, you know, first 2 years, I mean, he was almost like in a form of circumstantial depression, having come from a ministry full and then moving into a ministry that was not. Mm-hmm. And in utter frustration because he saw his dreams dying for how he could serve the Lord, he didn't see the point in trying anymore. And I didn't even realize it until I had given him the book by Bruce Wilkinson, The Dream Giver. Oh. And Greg's response was, he wasn't even willing to pick the book up. I'm like, why? And he goes, why? And he goes, my dreams are all gone. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't even realized that Greg was struggling until he said that, and then that clued me in that he was in the utter frustration stage, that he no longer saw the dreams. And so I began the process of preparing and praying for his dreams to be realized again. And so do you see how we can fall into these categories? We can take thy will be done, and it can be spoken into the circumstance, and it can be surrender, but it can be for the wrong reason. And that's not what God wants from us. The fourth one is in perfect trust. And that's what Jesus did. And Jesus said, thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. And he says, take this cup from me. And the cup representing the trial, the anguish of what he knew he was about to have. The cup was what the Father was pouring into him that he could then in turn pour out. And it makes me think of the 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, where it talks about the God of all comfort, the God of all compassion, that as we have trials and tribulations coming into our life, there are two things that we need to look towards: salvation of those around us, and then we need to look for those that need comfort. Because as we experience the comfort of God in our life, that is in turn what we need to be pouring out into another. So as Jesus comes with this cup of taking on all of the sin of mankind and the death of mankind and the separation, the wages of sin as death, he knows that it's going to be hard. And he, you know, if you could take it from me, but Lord, I want your will, not mine, your will. And so coming to a place where we're willing to see the greatness of what God has planned, even though we cannot understand it in the midst of what we're dealing with. And that's what Jesus prayed that day. So those are the four that Barclay gave. And I was praying through, and I'm like, perfect trust. Lord, as I look at this passage, what does that perfect trust look like? Because it's one thing to say I'm supposed to have that same kind of desire for his will, but what does that look like for me? And so I started asking God, how can I do that? What does that look like? What did Jesus do that I in myself can somehow have be in my life? And so I examined Jesus in that passage, and this is what I saw. I saw Jesus spoke to the Father. That's the prayer, that he took the time and he spoke. He didn't hold on to it. He took it, and he took it to the Father. And then he saw that the Father loved him. He saw the Father as love. He saw the Father in his care. And he was willing to submit to the love that he saw in the Father, even though that love meant that he had to suffer. He was willing to submit to that and step into what the Father had for him. But not just a submission, it was a trust. It's like, okay, Father, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand why I'm here. You know, that's where we're at. Jesus knew and understood, but his was complete trust, and he didn't let go of that trust. Versus Judas, the betrayer, walked away from the trust. Versus the two disciples that wanted to sit at the great hand, they wanted to move out and be greater than that, you know, trust. And then the denial of Peter to Jesus, you know, being willing to, for a season, say, I'm not related to that trust. And so being able to say, I'm willing to walk with that trust. Not only that, it was an acceptance. Complete acceptance. And I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I just don't want to accept what's going on.
Yep.
You know, I just don't want to accept what I see around me. I don't want to accept what I'm going through. I don't want to accept what I know is the unknown of the known that I'm moving towards. And so being willing to accept the Father's sovereignty, as Sabrina had referenced in the last week. And then the final thing is the assurance of the Father's plan to be fulfilled. Because remember when Jesus was preparing them in Luke 21, he said, in Luke 22, excuse me, at the Lord's Supper, he said to them, and he goes, I have so been looking forward to this Passover. Mm-hmm. I've been looking forward to this time with you. He was actually looking forward to the night that he knew would be his last meal with them before he would suffer. And so it's an assurance of God's love, the Father's love, as he's preparing him for the fulfillment of what he was about to accomplish. So do I, Tara Rye, accept the sovereignty of God and the circumstances I find myself in? And I'm learning to ask myself that question. And the sovereignty would be is that God has a plan, and that plan's in love for you. And so regardless of the outcome of the choices or the answers, trusting that those choices and answers are good enough, you know, and accepting them. And so that's where, you know, the growth happens. That's where it's in perfect trust. That's where it's just like how Jesus did it. Okay, so what are you guys thinking? Because you got quiet on me again. Everybody's
that's pretty deep.
That's pretty deep.
I think the couple of things that stick out for me is, first of all, understanding God's greater plan.
Yeah.
I mean, we just don't.
Yeah.
You know, and so many times I think, I'm like, okay, God, what am I going to learn out of this situation? Mm. Or what's this going to lead to? So I think, you know, there's a uncomfortableness of the not knowing. There's an anxiety and all of that. But then the thing that I think for me that I've really had to dig in to understand is the Father's love.
Mm.
And coming from, you know, a family where I really didn't have a father.
Mm.
And, you know, so many times it's said that, well, you know, if you have strained relations with your father, whatever the scenario is, it's very difficult to identify with our Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I didn't have the respect. I didn't understand that love. Mm-hmm. I wasn't able to crawl into my daddy's lap and he, you know, have him tell me it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was almost like just fighting my way through life without that. And so that was a big thing for me to understand is that love.
Mm-hmm. So what made you or helped you to understand it? Do you know? Do you have a...
You know, it's been a gradual and change, and it's been, there's been a lot of pieces that go into it. There's been forgiveness. There's aspects of forgiveness.
Yeah.
There's aspects of understanding myself.
Mm.
And I think just working through difficult situations that I felt were hopeless, and, you know, understanding my limitations. I mean, there's a lot that I think goes into it. Certainly reading the Word, understanding, you know, the Word. And when we talked about, you know, reading the Word, I think for me it is difficult to just sit down and read through the Bible. But, you know, the study Bibles have helped me. Mm. The, you know, any devotion where it's like kind of an life application, you know, so, I mean, the Jesus Calling, you mentioned that. Mm. Not that I'm not going to plug yours, but,
no, it's good.
You know,
it's
that
good.
One. And
Sarah Young's
it,
amazing.
It is just hits me right between the eyes mm-hmm. so many times. Mm. And seeing, I think, his faithfulness and what he's done in me. I know I'm different than I was 10 years ago. I'm mm-hmm. not. I don't have the anger and the bitterness. Mm. So I think all of it. It's just, you know, God allowing the Holy Spirit to just melt my heart and fill it back up.
Awesome. That's awesome. That's beautiful.
So I mean, I think if you don't grasp those things, it's really hard. That surrendering thing and accepting God's will, no matter what it is, what season he's going to put you through, you know, it's all for the greater good, not for yourself, mm-hmm. but for God's kingdom.
Amen.
And
yes.
whether you're suffering in whatever capacity, you know, at some point you will be able to use that and minister to, who knows? It could be the grocery store clerk.
That's right.
Because they were, for whatever reason, I mean, you just never know what God speaks to you and how it will come out in just everyday life. And you may not ever know that it's going to impact
right.
somebody.
Yeah. I think that that's one of the funnest things about the kingdom of God is that the Lord is the one that brings the increase, mm-hmm. not us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we are, I think, never really aware of how God is working. He's alive and active and working in so many ways. You know, we are so glad that you've been listening to this series. And we will actually spend one more month on it, even though we have examined the seven moments. But on the last week, I'm going to follow the psalmist Lemuel, where he says, you know, there's three kinds of things. No, wait, there's one more. And so I'm going to follow his pattern, and we're going to actually look at one more moment that Jesus prayed, even though in Luke it doesn't say Jesus prayed, right? It actually is just a prayer that he speaks, and it'll be the prayer that he speaks at the cross. And so you want to come back next week so that we can talk through, and we're going to look at next month actually, so that you can hear the prayer that is actually prayed when he's on the cross. And so we, for the last 7 months or 8 months, I guess, because we had an intro, we've been examining the seven moments Jesus prayed. And then next week we will examine him on the cross. Once that's done, we'll start a series called Portable Sanctuary, which will actually look about at how we are the temple moving around on this mm-hmm. earth. We're so glad you're here. God bless.